Hi, welcome to Protecting Your Practice. I'm Dr. Dave Yud. This is Dan Mayer. Hey,
Hello.
Dan. What's up? Are you ready to strike the fear of God into the hearts of listeners today?
Ooh, can I just do it right now? I'm just going to do it right now. So, how does everyone listening like the sound of being fined $500 a day, criminal penalties up to $10,000, and 2 years in prison? Anyone up for that?
I'm going to just very kindly take a pass on that one.
And by the way, this is federal prison we're talking about.
Ooh, federal. So like I could go to Supermax in,
yes.
In Florence, Colorado.
Maybe more like white collar, you know, Martha Stewart, but
okay.
You know, still it's federal prison. It's, you know,
not what I would like to do with my
probably not
my time. So this is another mini cast. We're going to laser focus on one topic of compliance that is brand spanking new, and we have to comply with it. Otherwise, that possible fate could befall us. And no thanks. So what is this new fresh hell that we must figure out?
So for those listening, if particularly if you're in Maryland, I've seen this a lot in Maryland. A lot of practitioners are very worried about this. They know the name of it. They don't know much about it. They just know it's there. And that is the Corporate Transparency Act. So if you're listening, you're like, oh, yes, I've heard of that, but I don't know what that is. We're going to talk to you about that today. The first thing I will say is that much like the GFE, the Good Faith Estimate, when the No Surprises Act went into effect, it required certain compliance by you. I want to start with focusing on what's happening and why it's happening before we get into the heart of what this is. So one of the concerns that the federal government has is that it doesn't have, as of now, or had up until now, the ability to track financial crimes when it came to determining people using businesses to do them. So Congress passed the Corporate Transparency Act in 2021 to combat the facilitation of illicit activities, be it money laundering or financing of terrorism, financial fraud, you know, things being done by malicious actors under the guise of their registered companies, which were, of course, registered at the state level, not with the federal government. And the federal government was like, we don't know who owns these companies. So how can we, you know, it makes it much more difficult to then track who's using these companies to do bad deeds.
Which this sounds overall like a good thing. I support the government having added enforcement measures or investigatory measures to combat money laundering or any other sort of really bad financial crimey kind of things. That's, I would say, on the whole, probably a good thing that they now have that ability.
Well, much like the No Surprises Act and the GFE, the idea is a good one. I think a lot of practitioners look at it and say, man, this is just another thing I'm going to have to do. And why is this affecting me? My answer is it just is, because in order to do something good, or with this act to do, try to do it with good intentions, it's just something you're going to have to comply with.
It's sort of like we need to just do a little bit of legwork to prove that we are not doing crimes.
The Corporate Transparency Act passed in 2021. It went into effect as of this year, January 1st, 2024. So it is in effect. And of course, just like with the GFEs, when that passed, I had a lot of practitioners panicking. So first off, if you're listening, take a deep breath. Most likely, you're fine. You're not out of compliance yet. So,
so I don't have to envision how I'm going to deal with being in prison just yet.
Not unless you wait until 2026.
Ah, okay. There it is. So there we got time to comply.
Yes.
Okay. So I can just sort of unclench a little bit.
Yes. Unclench a little bit. If you're listening and you're like, oh my gosh, take a deep breath. Okay. So it just went into effect this year. What it's requiring you to do if you own a business is to submit what we call beneficial ownership information to the U.S. Department of Treasury's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. That's a big jumble of words. Just know the word FinCEN is what it's called for short. Okay, and there's a website, there's an application, and you're just going to go online, you're going to fill out the application, and you're going to submit it. Okay, and what it's doing is it's allowing them to gather additional information on the specific owned entities throughout the country who are operating, and you know, find out like who owns these companies, so that if they are trying to track down financial crimes or those purveying financial crimes, they can have an easier time figuring out what companies they're doing it under. So who does it affect? If you own a business, a registered company, like a limited liability company, corporation, or any other company created by the filing of a document with the Secretary of State of your state, Maryland included, you will be likely required to file that report with FinCEN.
Is this similar to the No Surprises Act? Are we going to have to do this every freaking year?
So, everyone listening, I want you to be like, holla, okay? The good news for you is, unlike GFE, is this a one-time registration?
Oh, that is what I want to hear.
The caveat, which
that is not what I want to hear. I do not want caveats.
Which it's really more for attorneys like me who help practices register businesses sometimes, is that there is additional things that I need to be concerned about. And if you're someone in listening and you are going to create a business, this is something you might want to listen to very carefully now. So if you own a business right now, as of 2024, then you don't have to file this report until the end of December 2024.
So I got time.
Yes.
I got time.
Okay. Don't wait till January 2025. Honestly, don't wait till December of 2024. Just get it done at some point. But, okay, this is where the details matter. If you are a company or you're creating a company as of this year, then you will have much less time to respond and get this filed. So any new LLC, corporation, other entity registered after January 1st, 2025, next year, will have 30 days to file this report. If you created a business on or after January 1st of 2024 of this year, right, but before the end of this year, you will have 90 days to file this report. So
basically in this year where we are adjusting to this, you have 90 days to file the report. But after this year, if you create an LLC or whatever, you got 30 days to file it. Otherwise, you're out of compliance.
Yeah. So let's kind of give everyone a practical example. I'm a mental health practitioner. I have a group practice. I have a corporation or LLC. Great. For me, I have until the end of this year to file this. I decide that I want to start a additional coaching practice or consulting practice, and I go to my attorney or I do it myself and I create an LLC. I now have 90 days to get that filing done. I don't have until the end of the year. If I decide, you know what, this is not the right time for me to start this business, so I'm going to wait until next year. So now it's March 2025. And at that point I create it, I will have 30 days.
Got it. So what exactly do we need to be submitting?
You must submit information about your company and who owns it. It's what we call a beneficial owner. A beneficial owner is any individual who exercises a substantial amount of control over the company. So if I have three partners with me and I own 50% and they own less than that, I have a substantial control over the company. So when I file the report, I would be the one to register that and put my name down. If I'm a member of, you know, a practice where there's three members and we all share the same amount of interest, 30% thereabouts, then we all share the owner. And by the way, I went to law school. My math is terrible. So
I wasn't sure if I was going to like comment on this or not.
No, 30
does not equal 100.
I heard you snicker, and in my head, I knew And that wasn't correct. And I thought, okay, but bear with me. I went to law school, so I didn't have to do math. Okay. All right. So the point is, though, is that in that case, then all three of those owners would have a control, equal control. They would then have to put their names down. Okay. And if it's just you, if you're just, you know, the sole owner, whether it's a sole practice or group practice, and you have 100% ownership, then it's your name that's going down on that form.
If there are changes to ownership structure, do you then have to file a new one of these?
So that's a great question. Okay. If you do any sort of updates, if you do any additional owner information, if you change the structure of the organization, it's very possible that you may have to file a new or additional form. You know, this is one of those things that's much like when the GFE came out, there's a lot of questions, there's a lot of things still being formulated. There's even a bill before Congress right now to delay enforcement or extend some of the time periods here. So we're still very much in flux here. I mean, to the point that as of November, October of last year, as I recall when I went and looked, the website to file these reports that's now up wasn't even up.
Well, the good news with this sort of thing is that it doesn't sound like compliance is difficult at all. It's assuming that the website is actually up and functional and working, you really just need to give them your identifying information, what you control in the company, mm-hmm. click submit, and then you're done. Correct. Is that right?
Yes, right. And I want to make one other point on the ownership perspective. You know, if you own 5%, that's not what they're talking about. But if you own 25% or more of a company, you are a beneficial owner. So that report, in addition to your name, right, is going to also include your birth date, your home address, a identifying number like from your driver's license, state ID, passport, that type of thing, and an image of the document in question, so like a picture of your ID. And for those who have concerns about, okay, I'm submitting all this information to the government, I have two things to say on that point. First of all, the government knows exactly who you are. You file taxes every year. They know exactly who they are. They have your social security number. They know how much you make. They already know all that information. So you're not telling them anything they don't already know about yourself. Secondly, this is a database that's only going to be available to certain government agencies. Because again, they're using this information to kind of track down and go after people who are doing things they shouldn't be doing. They're not concerned with people like you, Dave. Okay. But how else do you get everyone to do this and develop this database so that you can go after the bad actors, right? If you don't even know who the bad actors are and what companies they're using.
Right. They need to know if somebody's doing some bad things, who is it that is doing the bad things, who's benefiting from the bad things. But also, Dan, how do you know I'm not one of them?
You know, I don't. And that's what the government's saying is, but, you know, we're hoping with this information you give us now, we'll be able to figure that out, right?
I'll have to rethink my life of crime.
Yeah, absolutely. That whole, you know, supervillain James Bond thing you got going on the side there might be at risk at this point.
Well, I'll just have to get a little bit more secretive about it.
As he says on a recorded podcast.
Listen, you guys won't tell anybody, right? You won't tell about the money I'm skimming.
Hey, I heard nothing. La, 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 la. Now, one of the other questions I get is, do I need an attorney to help me with this? And my answer is no, you don't. Okay, now.
Oh my God, a protecting your practice first.
I know, it's amazing. I actually said, you do not need an attorney to help you with this. You know, this is something you can do on your own. If you have an accountant, as you should, right? They may be able to help you, at least give you guidance here. You know, an attorney can give you some guidance here on what to do, but ultimately it's your responsibility and the government's going to want you to submit this. You know, you're the one signing off on it. So I think it's really important to just understand that. The other thing I'll just point out here is that while this is a pain in the butt in the short term, okay, the reality is you do this, you're done. And I think that's what's so correct. Just over the course of this year, if you're listening, you want to practice, just do it, right? It's not hard. You look it up. You can type in the name of the government agency. You type in the Corporate Transparency Act, and it'll come up. It'll bring up the federal website, and you just go off to the races from there. Based on my experience, it should take less than 20 minutes to do all this.
So really, if you're listening to this, when you're done listening to this, or right now, hit pause. You can knock it out. Then you do not have to worry about a 2-year prison sentence and $500 a day for being out of compliance.
It's like you read my mind. I was just about to come full circle to that and say, so if you don't comply, that's where the non-compliance up to $500 per day, criminal penalties up to $10,000 and 2 years in prison comes in. Now, listen, the reality is, I'm speculating here, but the reality is, you don't comply, I'm guessing the government might send you a letter very strongly worded that says, you're not in compliance, get in compliance now or else, right? You know, I don't think that, oops, I forgot to comply, the government's going to come knock on your door and be like, guess what? You know, like, we're charging you with breaking the law now. I would be surprised, given how slow government works, that that's going to happen. It's more, you're going to get warned. You'll probably get warned again. And, you know, continued noncompliance is what's going to get you in trouble.
And we'll probably also just get extra eyes on you in general for like, why is this person not in compliance? Is there something that they're trying to hide? Let's dig a little deeper.
Correct. Absolutely. And since this is so simple, to your point, you get off the, you know, listening today, go sit at your desk and fill this out. Be done with it.
Well, I know what my next half hour is going to be.
And I'm very sorry for that.
Whatever. I mean, it's just another thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, we're kind of being a little silly about the enforcement mechanism because it's not every day that there's a law that we could be breaking that specifically says 2 years in prison. But honestly, it's just a very easy thing to be in compliance with. There are tons of these little things that we have to do that I try to track, but you know, part of this is why we hire professionals who can help track this stuff for us. But it's just another thing to be in compliance with. I could sit here and bemoan and be like, oh my God, it's so annoying. But it sounds like this is just an easy thing to knock out. And then because of that, you know, cool. Let me just take care of it.
Yeah. You know, this is one of those things where I understand what they're trying to do. They want to put teeth into this. Right. Because this is the seriousness of what's at stake here. If you have someone who's using a company to finance terrorism, there's a vested public interest in trying to find that person, find the company that they're using and shut it down and deal with them. And so the only way to do that is to cast a large net and get everyone to respond. And then you have this database that you can go through if you need to. And how do you get that compliance? By putting teeth in this that says, look, if you don't comply, we have options available to us.
Yeah, makes sense.
So
I get it.
That's it in a nutshell. It's really not as scary, I think, as a lot of practitioners might have thought. It's pretty straightforward and it won't take that long to do.
So go do it.
Go do it.
And then you can thank us profusely for enlightening you.
Absolutely.
And you can say, wow, you know what I really like? Not being in prison. Thanks, Dan and Dave.
And you can give us a positive review, like 5 stars, and you can send us a complimentary email and be like, thank you so much, guys. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes, please do get in touch about how you didn't get arrested.
Didn't go to jail.
Well, thanks, everybody, for coming. We hope
thank you
enjoyed
everyone.
This one. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to Protecting Your Practice. Be sure to visit protectingyourpractice.com to connect with us, continue the conversation, and access additional information. As a reminder, the information on this podcast does not constitute legal advice. Listeners should contact their own attorney or paid consultant for all decisions regarding their own practice.